newest episode of Not Enough Wrestling. Tonight, it's me, the All-Star, and the Colombian Cartel. We are the Faction of Satisfaction. And tonight, we're going to talk about SmackDown's first draft.
Ooh, goody, 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 goody draft.
Yeah, well, SmackDown, the first pick, I think, was the best pick of the whole night.
Yes, I believe it too, yeah.
Yeah. Seth Rollins, the first one that got moved over to Seth Rollins got moved over to SmackDown, and he has never been on SmackDown, which I felt like he should have been on SmackDown years ago.
Yeah, it's been what, 4 years since he hasn't been on SmackDown?
I mean, like, he's only been on SmackDown when they, like, because remember SmackDown they were going both brands.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's never been drafted to SmackDown.
Right, right. Well, now he has the opportunity to make it big on SmackDown.
Yeah. And so I think I'm really trying to think about the pick itself. Like, I really like the pick, but here's my issue with when they draft people to other brands, they're going to be facing the same people they've already fought before.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you got Roman Reigns as a champion, and we all know that they already wrestled for the belt.
Yeah.
And
I mean, they wrestle for the WWE title, not the Universal title, which still doesn't make a difference. But
right.
It's gonna be two different personas. You have Seth Rollins, the Messiah, and then you have the Roman Reigns is still he's now the Tribal King,
the Tribal Chief.
Tribal Chief, sorry. Tribal so, Chief, yeah.
Well, now he's the Friday Night Messiah.
Yeah, that'll give you different. But you know, he still has to go against the big dog, the Tribal Chief. Right. You know, so that's going to be that's going to be a storyline possibly that he's already against Bray Wyatt, the Fiend.
Right. But as you said earlier about Seth fighting the same people throughout the night, there was another couple draft picks who also went to SmackDown. And that's going to, they're going to continue their feud. So.
Yeah, which doesn't make sense to me. Like,
yeah,
I know we're talking about Dominique and Rey Mysterio getting drafted to SmackDown.
Also, Murphy too.
Oh yeah, and Murphy got drafted. You're right, Murphy got drafted. I didn't see Murphy on that. I forgot to write Murphy's name down. Murphy got drafted to SmackDown, so which does not make any sense. Like,
it doesn't, because it's like they took that whole group, moved it over to SmackDown. And now they're going to continue the feud on SmackDown. I thought, like, Seth Rollins was going to... When I saw Seth Rollins get drafted, I'm like, all right, cool. That feud is done. He's going to move on to something new, but I guess not. But I guess we'll find out, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you said, I thought it was going to be a fresh new start for Rollins because he's been in a feud with the Mysterio family. And then it looked like a feud between him and Buddy Murphy was coming.
Right, right.
And so I didn't feel like Buddy Murphy getting moved, or I feel like Seth Rollins getting moved was like, okay, this is where the storyline ends. There's going to be no feud. It's going to be Rollins. It's going to be actually Murphy and the Mysterio family, because Murphy's going to be on his own.
Right.
So, you know, but then you get Murphy and the Rey Mysterio family getting moved. They're like, yo, this makes no sense whatsoever. Like, this was supposed to be a fresh start for Rollins.
Okay, I guess they're going to keep dragging on that storyline to who knows when.
Yeah, like, but it should have been done.
It should have ended.
And now they just added the daughter into it, which makes a completely whole new setup. And I don't know. It was just a dumb move. Yeah. So we can scratch off Rollins, Murphy, and the Mysterios, because we practically already know that they're going to continue the storyline.
Right.
Now, Styles got moved back to Raw.
That's a good move.
And a lot of people believe it's because of the chemistry that him and Paul Heyman had.
Yeah, they don't get along professionally. So that's why AJ Styles got moved to Raw, which makes sense.
Yeah, I really wished he would have went against Roman Reigns before he left.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's busy with his own family.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, like, eventually when this storyline ended, I would know Styles could have been a face going against Roman Reigns, because you know, well, we saw the first time Reigns went against AJ Styles, and that's when Reigns was still doing the big dog gimmick with the vest, and now that he's no longer doing it, he's a whole other persona.
Right.
How would that chemistry would have worked out now under you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a whole new gimmick, a new persona. How would this worked out against Styles, maybe a face Styles?
Right. Yeah, it would have been a face Styles would have been what I've been wanting to see for a while now.
So I think that's the match I wanted to see before he got moved over to Raw.
Yeah.
But I get the circumstances, but you know.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I mean, he's gonna be a lot more happier on Raw.
Yeah, I mean, because I think as soon as the storyline ends between Drew and Orton, if Drew remains champion, Orton can still be a heel, and he'll be the next one going to get online. He'll be the next opponent against Drew McIntyre to help build McIntyre's legacy as he moves forward as WWE champion. She got moved over to Raw. Now, how do you feel about her getting moved over to Raw? Because now she's no longer with her husband, who's on SmackDown. But the shows are still being taped in Orlando, so it doesn't really affect it at all too much. But
exactly. Naomi getting moved over to Raw brings up a question. And I saw this on Twitter about MVP posting that he may want to recruit Naomi to the Hurt Business. So if that does happen, if that is true, that would be a good move. I would like to see that. What do you think about that?
Her being part of the Hurt Business. It's only a good move because if they're still feuding with Retribution, since Retribution has a female in their group,
of course,
then that works out in that favor.
But wait, do you know who the leader of Retribution is? Did you see that?
Yes, they have made Mustafa Ali as the leader of the Retribution.
Doesn't bring my attention, so I really don't care about that.
Well, I mean, like I told you before, it needs to be for a certain group to work. You got to have somebody in there to lead. And Mustafa Ali, he's a like character, and he does make a lot of sense because he's really been all over. He's been all SmackDown. He's been on 205, and he never really got the push that he deserved. So I can see it work now because, once again, it's somebody who's, like I said, my original view of Retribution was it needed to be a group of people who felt misused.
Right.
Nobody in Retribution has been misused because they all came from NXT.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Retribution works with somebody who's been misused or never been used, and you feel like you are a talent above everybody else on that roster, and you deserve more respect. Mustafa Ali is one of those type of people that can use that example. Hey, I've been here for a long time. I'm not getting the treatment that I should be getting, or I'm not being used properly. So I'm going to take a stand, and I'm going to make my own way.
Well, let's see if Ali can lead this group and make it more entertaining, because so far it's not so good. But now with Ali being the leader, things may change up a bit. Who knows?
Yeah, it may change up. It may change up. He gives legitimacy to the group. Now, will he save it? Will he save it? I don't know. But this could either make or break Ali, because, you know, him taking this role, they probably say, hey, would you like to be the leader of Retribution? He's taking the risk because if this sucks, this can set him back.
Oh, of course.
But if this works, huh? Yeah. But if this works, it can push him to possibly being a main event superstar down the road. Like, something like this does not push you. You kind of skip the mid-card titles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You skip all that because, you know, leader of a group like this, you skip and you go straight to the main title. So moving forward, this could possibly lead him to be a major player in, through Retribution. But it just all depends on how the fans accept Retribution now that Mustafa Ali is the leader, and how they use it and how they push the organ, how they push this group.
Right. I mean, we just have to wait and see down the road, see how things go with Retribution and their feud with the Hurt Business.
Yeah. So, but back to your original question about Naomi. Naomi going to Raw and her joining the Hurt Business. Her joining the Hurt Business can always be used as the same storyline everybody used to use. Well, they didn't see the potential in me.
Right.
You know, MVP sees the potential in me being a great star, and he could bring out the better version of me that people have been wanting to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she would have to get away from all that glitter and all that, you know, the glow thing, and, you know, put on the gold and black.
Oh, yeah, she's going to have to, if she does join and join her business, she's going to have to change up her image, like, completely.
Yeah. And we've never really seen a heel version of Naomi, so that's what I'm really looking forward to seeing. Like, how does her repertoire, how does her moves change?
Yeah, that's good. That'd be interesting to watch.
Yeah, how does her moves change because now that she's a heel? She doesn't do a lot of the moves that she does for her face moves. Now you change, when you become a heel, your moveset is supposed to change.
Yeah.
You don't do things that you originally do that made you liked by everybody. You do things that make you hated. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to have to see how she adapts to that vision.
Yeah, I agree. She's going to have to take the ball and roll plus, it.
And plus, she can be a potential opponent against Asuka now that she's with the Hurt Business. The grittier side of her can make her an actual threat to Asuka. Because we all know that she's a great talent, but she needed something to push her to be a better talent, to be taken seriously. And I feel with her joining her business and MVP bringing up the grittier, the darker side of her could make her a potential opponent, a threat to Asuka. So that's what I'm looking forward to, hopefully moving forward with that.
Same here. So crossing fingers.
Now, say it again?
No, I'm just saying the same here. I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that Naomi's move to Raw won't hurt her, like, in any way, you know?
Yeah. Now, somebody from Raw got moved to SmackDown, which is Bianca Belair. She got moved from Raw to SmackDown.
Yeah, that threw me off a bit. I'm like, what?
It didn't throw me off. I kind of seen – I'm actually happy for her.
I'm just worried about that they're hyping her up too much. And if she goes to SmackDown and she doesn't get used well, I don't know, man. Like, all them vignettes for nothing. I don't know, man. That's just how I feel. Like, they're hyping her up too much. So
no, Bianca Belair is a top talent. Like, she, to me, her going to SmackDown was the best thing for her. She didn't really fit. She fit in the Raw brand, but once again, they didn't know how to use her.
I mean, yeah, she never and made her debut on Raw.
Yeah, and with the champion being Asuka right now, I could have seen her beating Asuka, but I feel like with her moving her to SmackDown, she has a better chance of being a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you got Bayley as a champion right now. Now, say Bayley and Sasha go at it, and somehow Bayley comes out as a champion. Somehow, some way, Bayley comes out and walks out as champion.
You think
Bianca Belair is the next person to take that title from her, because she has beaten everybody on that SmackDown roster.
Man,
Bianca Belair is the X factor to take the belt from Bayley.
I mean, if Banks doesn't win it at Hell in a Cell, then Bel Air is the next one, yeah, to take it from her.
Yeah. Now, even and even if, okay, let's say this, even if Sasha does win, Bel Air can go in as the heel, and because I've been wanting to see, I said this back in the, if you go back and listen to a couple episodes before, like a long episode, a long, long time ago, I've been said Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks would be money. You know, I've been said I wanted to see Bianca Belair go against Sasha Banks because I think their styles are similar and the chemistry would be just as good. I think that they would have a great match.
Yeah, they got like those boss mentalities that.
Exactly. That whole gimmick to me sounds perfect.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would be something that would be fresh and new because now you want to see who's the boss of SmackDown in a sense.
Right. And eventually, how about them forming a tag team together?
No, I'm done with the women's tag team division, bro. Like, damn. You know, I'm just, well, you know what? Yes. Them two as a tag team, yes, that would possibly work. You know what I'm saying? You could be the Bel Air bosses.
The
whatever corny tag team name you want to come up with. But yeah, down the road, if they decide to build them as a tag team, yeah, sure, no problem. But we got to get a match between Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks and not through the storyline that they did with Bayley and Sasha, where they were best friends and then they end up, then one turn on the other. Like, it just needs to be Belair is the heel. Who's the real boss of SmackDown? And Belair goes against Sasha Banks and she tries to take the title from Sasha. That's what I think needs to happen with that storyline.
So I'm hoping
that they use her properly this time. And hopefully somebody, whoever's on SmackDown, who's in charge of creative on SmackDown, sees the potential in her, sees the matches that she can go out and have and help build, you know, the SmackDown women roster back up again.
Yeah.
Because right now there's nobody else. Carmella's not a contender. Lacey Evans is not a contender. Like, she's beaten, you know what I'm saying? Like, Bayley has beaten everybody. She needs a fresh opponent, and this is the fresher you can get.
Yeah, and almost every woman is out too. So I'm just saying, like, in general, like, Becky Lynch is still out. Charlotte is still out. Mickey James is out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's really no other women on SmackDown that, I don't know, that gives, you know, that thing that someone is missing on SmackDown to fill in that hole. And I think Bianca Belair is that something that's going to fill in the hole. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. But like I said, that's what I'm saying. Like, so you wasn't really sure about them moving her over, but I'm like, if you look at the positives in moving her, she's a fresh opponent for Bayley and a fresh opponent for Sasha.
Yeah, right.
You know, they both between Banks and Bayley, they've beaten everybody on the SmackDown roster.
Mm-hmm.
So personally, this is the perfect, you know, this is the perfect twist. You add Bel Air into it. Now, whoever wins this title between Bayley and Sasha got to go against Bel Air. It's just that simple.
Oh yeah, she's gonna get an automatic number one contender.
Mm-hmm. And it sucks because everybody else in the division has already had one. So, you know, they're gonna make Bel Air work her way up, beating all these people. But eventually, she's gonna get to that title.
Oh yeah. Somewhere down the road, she's going to eventually become SmackDown champion.
So that's why I'm hoping that goes. Now, to move on from her, you had the Miz and Morrison. They got drafted to Raw.
I guess that was also a good move because they didn't have anything for them to do on SmackDown except for beef with Otis, and that was getting tired. And then moving to a Raw, they're gonna start all over again. So see where that goes.
The potential, okay, Miz and Morrison get moved over to Raw. I just kind of see them go against the Street Profits.
if they're still tag team champions.
Who?
The Street Profits.
Yeah, exactly. So they'll be they're a new fresh feud for the Street Profits, because Street Profits have already beaten everybody on Raw.
Right, yes.
So this is a fresh new thing. Now, here's a twist in this whole thing, because the New Day also got moved over to Raw, but they just won the tag team belts from Cesaro and Nakamura.
I was so confused on that. So it was like, are they going to unify the champions now or what?
I think they're going to unify the tag team champions, which would be the best move, because that kind of helps build the tag team division, because once they're the tag team titles and you already have a depleted tag team division, makes perfect sense. Just kind of like what the women's tag team division is. It's only one tag team. It's only one pair of tag team titles, and you fight between Raw and SmackDown.
Right. So with them moving to Raw, they can unify the tag team belts, and then whoever becomes the tag team champions can now move back and forth from both shows.
Exactly. So with the New Day being the SmackDown champions and then Street Profits, they'll probably have a match down the road where they got to defend the belts and unify them. The Miz and Morrison creates the feud for whoever wins the tag team belts after that. But we've already seen the Miz and Morrison go against the New Day, which would be Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the Street Profits will remain tag team champions.
So who's going to take them away?
The Miz and Morrison will take the belts from the Street Profits.
Good. That's what I was thinking too.
Because they, like you said, it needs to be a whole new, fresh scenario going on with the Street Profits. You know, the Street Profits just can't run through all the tag team divisions. They got to lose. They got to run into one and lose to one of them.
Right.
So, you know, or they can do a triple threat tag team match where you got the New Day, Miz and Morris, and the Street Profits to unify the tag team titles.
I can see that.
And then you get Miz and Morrison winning the belts through that scenario as the unified tag team champions, and we go from there.
Yeah, I can't wait to see them win the Raw tag team champions. I actually like the Miz and Morrison.
Now, here's the thing about the New Day situation: they got traded, but Big E didn't get traded with.
Finally, they split them up.
A lot of people were upset about that. Well, most people are upset that they didn't bring New Day, like, bring them with them. Like,
man, it's like, time for them to split up, man. 6+ years together, that's a long time.
And that's how I feel. I feel like Big E, it's time for Big E to move toward his title run, his singles career.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously has proven that he can do singles matches. And, he has the potential to become the champion one day.
Mm-hmm. But he won't be able to do it with... It needs to be a different scenario than Kofi Kingston had.
Right.
You know, Kofi Kingston had the New Day with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to go down the same storyline where you have... You know, they can still support him from a distance. You know what I'm saying? But, like, he needs to be on his own and build his character that way.
Yeah, he needs to bring that big five gimmick back, you know.
Yeah, there was I remember seeing something about that. It was a gimmick that he had that he wanted to bring back, and I think that was the one you're talking about. He wants to bring that back. So, you know, it's all a time for him to, like, creative to be like, hey, what would you want to do with your singles career? And then he could be like, okay, I want to bring this back, something I did back in NXT, and bring this over to help, you know, establish my character a little bit more as I work my way up to a singles title, which would be the IC belt eventually, and then work his way to the Universal Championship.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the whole plan and the whole process was to get to that point. And I think with them moving New Day to Raw and Big E to SmackDown and keeping Big E on SmackDown, I think that works perfect, you know?
Yeah. I agree with that with that shirt, the draft trade.
So now that was everybody that, from what I saw, got traded. I don't want to talk about people who stayed because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
to talk about those.
A lot of people stayed, which didn't make any sense.
Yeah. Now, here's who I feel that should be traded over to the next brand. I got Braun Strowman getting traded to Raw. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I really don't care about him moving to Raw. He's already been the Universal Champion. He already defeated that big dude on Raw Underground. So what else is there really left for him to do on Raw?
When the WWE title.
Again? Oh no, he's never won it.
Wimby.
My bad.
Exactly. So it'll be he'll be a heel and he could go against Drew McIntyre.
But he does have a title match against Roman Reigns, which is like we all know he's not gonna win it.
When did he have a title match against Roman? He lost his title match.
No, he has a rematch next week. I think it's like a bid farewell to SmackDown. It's like there's a couple of matches going on right now. Braun Strowman is going to be one more time on SmackDown, and then he's going to face Roman Reigns for the belt. And then Seth Rollins is going to be one more time on Raw this coming Monday for like a bid farewell, something like that. So,
okay, so was he getting a title match against Drew McIntyre before he leaves?
I didn't hear anything about Seth having a championship match. All I heard was Braun and Roman Reigns.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was like, what? Okay.
All right. So, well, Strowman getting moved over to Raw, I think would be good because he'll be fresh new talent because he already went against Keith Lee. He went against Keith Lee on Raw, and the match ended in a no contest in the sense it was double count out. So there, I think it's going to slowly build a feud between them to legitimize Keith Lee. I mean, we already know he's legit, but I think if he can beat Braun Strowman, then it legitimizes him more to be moving forward towards Drew McIntyre's world title.
Yeah.
Now, Keith Lee going against AJ Styles would be crazy good, bro.
That'd be like a David versus Goliath thing.
Yeah, man. I'm just sitting there thinking about the matches. Like, Keith Lee can go against AJ Styles since AJ's moved over to Raw now.
That'd be a good match.
Now, yeah, I think that'd be a really good match. I mean, that'd establish him even more if he beats AJ Styles, who's been WWE champion. You know what I'm saying? So I think that'll be good. Now, another person I feel like should have got moved was Ricochet. He should have got moved to SmackDown.
Ricochet should have got moved to SmackDown, yep. But I guess
because he's,
I don't know why they kept him on Raw.
Like, he needs a new fresh start, dude. Okay, you already lost your boy Cedric Alexander. All right. You already lost Mustafa Ali to the Retribution Group. Like, what do you have left? There's nothing left. There's nothing left on you on Raw, bro.
Yeah, there's except
at this point, there's nothing. At this point, there's nothing left on the Raw brand for you. They should have just like, let's just start you fresh and brand new. We'll move you to SmackDown, and we'll give you some fresh opponents over there. Like, if you move him to SmackDown, he could go against Seth Rollins. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I guess they kept him on Raw so he can keep getting beat down by the Hurt Business and Retribution.
I mean, dude, he's a great talent, bro. He doesn't deserve to be beat down by Retribution and Hurt Business, bro. He deserves to be like IC champion or something like that. A legitimate, Ricochet versus Sami Zayn would be an incredible match.
I agree, but I feel like I don't know what happened to his bookings. Like, Ricochet is like the new jobber now. Like, I know that dude has a lot of potential, and he's a great athlete, but I don't know why they're not using him as they should, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we can't speak. All we can do is just, like, give, you know, feedback. And I think, like, the feedback is that Ricochet needs to be moved to SmackDown. Like, right. You know, just go ahead and move him to SmackDown, let him start over fresh and brand new with some new talent, you know what I'm saying, and work with new people.
Yeah, but I don't know.
You know, Ricochet versus, what's the dude's name? The bro. I can't think. I haven't heard this dude so long. Matt Riddle.
Matt Riddle, bro.
Ricochet versus Matt Riddle. Ricochet versus Cesaro. Ricochet versus Shinsuke Nakamura. There's so many potential matches you can have with this guy, but yet you keep him on Raw, and there's nothing left on Raw for him to do, bro.
I mean, and same with Apollo Crews, you know?
Apollo Crews needs to go back to NXT, he does, bro.
Like Ricochet, he keeps getting beat down, losing matches.
Well, the thing with Ricochet, I mean, the thing with Apollo, they moved him out too soon. His mic skills isn't that great. They just saw a big muscle guy and was like, okay, let's take him.
He looks like Bobby Lashley's little brother.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like they just picked him up and they didn't. Oh well, we got him. What are we gonna do with him? Like, I don't know. Just give him jobber matches. I'm like, bro, like, if you weren't ready for him, don't bring him over.
Yeah, but again, man,
Sheamus needs to get moved over to Raw.
Sheamus, wait, he's still beefing with he's beefing with Big E now.
That's dead in the water, bro. That's dead. I think after he lost that match against Big E on Friday. So I think that's dead in the water, bro. Just move on from that point.
Is that it between them?
I personally feel like it needs to be dead and over.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if it's going nowhere, then why not kill the feud, right?
Yeah, you might as well just kill it and move Sheamus to Raw, because Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre will be another great match for the WWE title.
It would be.
You know, you got the Scottish versus the Irish. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, there's so much potential going on. I think Raw needs to pick up Sheamus. Hands down, you need to get Sheamus.
Yeah, I feel like Sheamus did a lot more on Raw than he's done on SmackDown.
Well, because he had just came back. When he came back, him and Cesaro had already been split up. Cesaro was doing his own thing. When Sheamus came back, they never came back together again. And I did like Sheamus' gimmick on SmackDown. What he was doing with the whole hat gimmick and the overalls. I mean, that's dope. I'm digging it.
He looked like a typical Irishman, you know?
Yeah, and I like the gimmick. Now picture that and you move that with Drew McIntyre.
And then you got Drew McIntyre coming out in kilts and stuff like that and bagpipes, right? Or no, is that too much?
Yeah, exactly. You can do a backstage brawl with them wearing their, you know, their homeland attire. I mean, there's so many things you can do with that. Like, I feel like they just pick up Sheamus.
Pretty much, just pick them up. Just pick them up.
Just pick up Sheamus, bro, and possibly move Cesaro back to Raw. But I only want to see Cesaro go to Raw for him to get a chance to be a main eventer. Because they're not doing it on SmackDown. They're not even giving this dude a chance to be a main
eventer. You know how long it's been overdue for him to be a main eventer?
Yeah, I know. It's been years. I feel like, okay, if you're not gonna do it with him on Raw or SmackDown, just send him to NXT. Put him against fresh new talent.
And it's NXT. What I also thought was gonna happen was NXT people were going to get drafted, but I guess they weren't.
Well, yeah, Triple H even said that there was no guarantee that none of his people were going to get drafted over. But we still don't know. Like, the draft isn't over yet. So, like, Raw could easily draft somebody from NXT.
True. I guess we'll have to find out.
yeah, you know, they can easily draft somebody. But if that was an option, I feel like Cesaro should go to NXT. And I feel like AJ wanted to go to AJ would love to go to NXT also. So if, like, if AJ didn't want to go to Raw and he didn't want to stay on SmackDown, okay, well, I want to go to NXT. All right, we'll go to NXT.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who want to go to NXT. I know Randy Orton wants to work with some NXT guys. So if it crazy talk, but if Randy Orton does go to NXT, that would be it'd be very interesting.
It'd be very interesting because, like, how would they do it? Would he look at it as a demotion? Is he look? Would he look? Like, how would he into it? Like his man.
I think Randy Orton going to NXT would be a good look on him because, you know, he's probably gonna try and make the new talent good. You know, he's gonna put him over.
You think he'll put over the new talent?
He's done it to Keith Lee.
Yeah, you're right. He did give Keith Lee a title shot. I mean, yeah, a chance, a run. And the thing, Randy Orton could be the first. I can say the first. He'd be the second guy to go to NXT and then become NXT champion if that was a part of the plan.
I don't think any Raw or SmackDown guys have become NXT champion, have they?
Finn Balor,
yeah.
Well, he started in NXT.
I'm saying, like, if a Raw or SmackDown guy has never missed an NXT and then he goes to NXT and becomes a champion, that'll be something like very, very interesting.
Yeah, he'd be the first. And so, if you're speaking on that point, if you're not as including Finn Balor, then yes, he would be the first WWE exclusive guy that goes to NXT, right, and win the NXT title, because that would be awesome. I think that would be good. Or AJ, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's time to recreate and make each brand interesting. And that was the whole point. And that was the whole point of the draft. Like, make the show more interesting. Okay, you move some of these guys that's been on the main roster for so long, move them to NXT. You can help also possibly build that brand and help, like you said, build the younger talent. Yeah.
Because they're suffering too.
You know. Yeah, they, you know, we're going to talk about Finn in a minute because they just lost Finn, but we don't know how long he's going to be out.
I think he's going to be out maybe about a week or two or so, if I'm not mistaken.
They said it's probably going to be a couple of weeks because he got a broken jaw. And so it's going to take him a minute to get his, you know, get to the point where he can start actually, like, verbally.
So how long is Kyle O'Reilly going to be out for?
I don't think he's going to be out that long because it was just a liver kick. And it all depends what type of internal damage was done.
I mean, the dude was bleeding out of his mouth. So I don't know, man. But
yeah, but bleeding out of your mouth, I mean, a rib shot, it just depends on you. But a broken jaw is a broken jaw.
Yeah, you can't do much with a broken jaw.
You know what I'm saying? One get shot to the face again, your jaw's moving left to right like a bobblehead. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. See what I'm saying? So you don't want that. So I think he's gonna be out for a minute, but that puts a strain on who's gonna be the next NXT champion. So just think, like, Finn can't defend his title, and they have a show, and Randy Orton gets drafted to NXT. He comes in and he wins the belt on his day one appearance.
Hopefully he won't get injured, because it seems like everyone who's won that title has been injured. I think that title's cursed now.
No, it's not. I don't think the title is cursed, bro. It's just, you know, everybody just has bad luck. You know what I'm saying?
Won it, got injured. Finn Balor won it, defended it, got injured. Who's next?
Well, Karen Cross never defended his belt.
He won the belt, got injured. That was his first time becoming NXT champion.
I don't know, man. We'll just have to wait and see on that
one, bro. And then I know that this is kind of getting off topic, but the dude who attacked Adam Cole got injured last week.
Yeah, he got an ankle legs. Injury.
Yeah.
Both his legs. God.
So now he's out, and he was going to start a feud with Adam Cole. So now who knows where that's going to go now. He's going to be out for a year or so because both legs. I think it was his right ankle and his left ankle and his right knee gave out when he caught the dude from the suicide dive. So he's going to be out maybe about 6 to maybe 8 months. So that's why I say NXT is suffering because everybody's getting hurt.
Yeah. Well, like you said, if the NXT is not like NXT don't have the roster to build. They still got Gargano. They still got Ciampa. It's not like they don't have a roster.
Yeah, they do have a roster. But if everyone keeps getting hurt, they're not going to have a roster, you know?
Yeah. But, let's not hope for the worst. Let's just hope that, they keep the people that they have, they stay healthy enough to work. Now, I got two more people that I feel that needs to be moved.
And who are they?
Technically three. So we got for somebody to go to SmackDown, it needs to be a match between Garza and Andrade.
Garza, when he comes back, though, because he's still hurt.
Okay. Well, they gotta do a match eventually because one of these two got to go to SmackDown. They can't be on the same show together.
Yeah, when I heard Humberto got drafted to SmackDown, like they chose him. Like,
yeah, Humberto. Yeah, he got moved.
He got moved with his hat, but this guy lost a tag team title shot, and then they drafted him to SmackDown. But they kept both Andrade and Garza on Raw.
I don't know. Like whoever's drafting is like they're not that bright. They don't really follow wrestling.
Either they're just not drafting that bright, people. Or they got something like up their sleeve, which is gonna make us drop our jaws. You know,
Humberto to me needs to be in the NXT because he can help build the cruiserweight division. Yeah,
make him go against Santos Escobar.
Yeah, like that's what he needs to be. You know what I'm saying? But for me, if I had to pick between which one needs to go to SmackDown, I want Andrade to go back to SmackDown.
Which means Charlotte would have to go to SmackDown. I'm kidding. No. But what would you see Andrade doing on SmackDown? Could you see him going for the IC belt?
Yeah, I see him going for the IC title. Because
I don't see him. Maybe just not now, but teaming up with someone and start a new tag team.
Andrade is not a tag team guy. He's a singles individual. That's where he needs to be. He doesn't need to be in a tag team division with anybody, tagging up with anybody. He's a solo act. And that's the only thing I could see him as, mm-hmm. as a solo act. Like, he needs to be in the title. He needs to be in singles runs. He needs to be in great rivalries with other great talent that he can make better, or they can make him look better, or they can make each other look good. You know what I'm saying? Like, the rivalries he had with Rey Mysterio, those were incredible. The matches he had against AJ Styles, those were great. You know, he needs to be moving in the direction towards a major single title. I know his English isn't that great. That's why he had what's her name with him?
Wait, who?
At the time. What was his manager's name?
Zelina Vega.
She lost to Asuka like 2 weeks ago. Zelina. He had Zelina as his mouthpiece, but since they all split, he's on his own. Like, and I've been hearing his English, and it ain't that great.
Man, like, I know he's working on it, but it's like it still needs a lot more work.
But it's not. It, yeah, it's not great. It's not great enough to use, for them to use. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not great enough for them to use as a major player. I mean,
if they find him another manager, then I guess it could work.
Go get the dude that did Umaga's manager. That's what they need.
Alejandro Estrada.
Or you go get Alberto's manager.
I forgot his name. What was his name?
Ricardo.
Was it Ricardo? Yeah, I think it was Ricardo. Ricardo something. I forgot, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he need another manager that's his own announcer. Just have somebody to have his own announcer. That's what he really needs. And somebody just to be a mouthpiece. You know, if you can't
get. But I know you were going to get into Shinsuke because he has the same problem too.
Yeah, but Shinsuke to me works better as a heel that doesn't speak English because of, you know, the dialect or whatever. He could use the Japanese dialect and talk trash about us and his language.
If he's a heel, it'll work. Face, not so much.
No, as a face, no. Him speaking a different language as a face doesn't work. But for Shinsuke to do it as a heel,
yeah, it
works. So I guess you can do that. You can do that for Andrade if you do Andrade just speaks his native language as a heel talking smack about us.
Right.
That I can see work. But you gotta let him do it on his own free. You gotta let him do it and then be comfortable about it. Yeah. And I think that'll make his character build. And he can still work on his English on the back end while he's still talking smack to us native
language. The dude got Charlotte. She needs to step up. Like, she needs to teach him more English, you know? I mean, I'm pretty sure she is, but it's like, you need to pick it up a notch. Come on. The dude's career is at stake here.
I mean, she's doing the best she can, bro. I mean, the dude's probably speaking Spanish his whole life, bro. Like, you hear the broken English he's speaking, bro? Man. Like, it's
to me, it sounds badass, man. Broken English.
When he was trying to talk bad about Zelina.
Backstage segment where they fought.
No, where like the segment where Zelina had just fought against Asuka. It was like 2 weeks ago. She had fought against Asuka, and he came out there and he was talking smack about her, like, you're nothing without me. I'm paraphrasing, but he was saying, you're nothing without me. And he was trying to talk about like how he wanted his next opponent, and it was so broken. It was so bad. Like, dang, I'm dude.
Check that out.
Yo, all those people that teach in English right now, you can't find a single class. No, you in Florida, bro. Everybody who wants is trying to make extra money.
Especially now during the freaking pandemic.
They'll teach you.
Make some money.
Somebody come and teach this man some English. God, Garza is more ready. But I'm not a huge fan. But I'm not a huge fan of Garza. Like, Garza has the English and everything.
You're not a huge fan of Garza? What?
You know, I'm not. I'm be completely honest with you. I'm not a big fan of Garza. Why not? I'm just not. I don't feel him like everybody else likes him. I don't really. I'm more of an Andrade guy. Andrade to me is the reincarnation of Eddie Guerrero.
I mean, I'm a fan of both of them, but people saw Angel Garza as the new Eddie Guerrero.
Angel Garza is
back in like the WCW days.
Yes, he's the WCW version of him. And that's just my opinion from what I see. He was the older, more seasoned veteran. He's done with the high flying. I'm not doing all that high flying moves like I did back in the day. I'm a little bit bulkier now. So all the thing I'm doing is the frog splash. That's the best you're getting out of
it. Yeah, true.
You know what I'm saying? And that, and so that I like the, as I got older and I watched Eddie Guerrero, I was cooler to the WCW days because that's what the WCW days. But as I got older and as he got older, I became more of a veteran or more of a love for the mature Eddie Guerrero because he was a mm-hmm. ring guy. He was a technician guy. He worked limbs. He worked arms. You know what I'm saying? He didn't do anything big unless he knew he was going to hit.
I still remember those bomb ass matches he had against Rey Mysterio.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you think that's how I pictured these two. That's why, you know what I'm saying? That's why I'm not really feeling Garza because he's the younger Eddie Guerrero. And I wasn't really a huge fan of the younger Eddie Guerrero as more as the matured and seasoned veteran. And that's what Andrade is an incarnation of me.
I got you. Makes sense.
So that's why I like it. Now, the last person that needs to get moved over is Nikki Cross. Oh, please. She needs to go to Raw.
Move her to Raw.
Because she's lost to Bayley too many times for me for her to be on the same show. And the whole, if they're not going to do a match between Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, the newer version of Alexa Bliss, mm-hmm. like the crazy version of Alexa Bliss, then they need to go ahead and move on because this is going nowhere.
Well, whenever she comes back, if she doesn't have, like you said, a match with Alexa Bliss, then yeah. They need to do something with her ASAP. Move her to Raw or do something because
she needs new opponents. And there's brand new people on Raw that she's never fought. And I think it's time for her just to match up with new people.
I agree.
Well, we gotta watch Raw because Raw does their draft this weekend or this week. So we're going to look out for that. So then we come back with our thoughts on that. But we're running out of time. We want to thank you again for listening to the newest episode. Thanks. I want to thank the Colombian Cartel for coming on and doing the show with me. We are the Faction of Satisfaction. Do check us out on our Instagram. You can find us on Twitter. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back again in the next week or so. Deuces.